Hey everyone, welcome to Seen That, the podcast where we talk about cult and classic movies we haven't seen until now. For our fifth installment of our summer series, we're discussing the movie Dirty Dancing and why Avril,
nobody puts baby in a corner,
hasn't seen that, and much, much more. Hope you all enjoy. So, oh my gosh, you guys, this is like the second to last episode of our summer series, and it has flown by, but also
it really has.
You know, it was a good idea to do it every other week. We love doing the pod, but it has been crazy busy for both of us this summer, and it's been good. We definitely needed the time.
Yes.
Avril has definitely had quite a saga, no fault of her own, but just like moving locations, and it's just been like kind of a whirlwind.
It really has. We probably mentioned this in previous summer series episodes, but like to think back when we did this every week, I'm struggling now to find the time to like watch the movie, write up notes about it.
I know.
Set a recording date. Like, it's just such a different schedule now. And I agree, like, we needed the 2 weeks, because even that feels like it's too short, but
I know.
It really has flown by, and yeah, this summer has been crazy on a lot of fronts. It's been crazy weather. It's been super hot. It's been super rainy and wet.
Yeah.
I've had to move a couple of times.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You moved.
I moved too.
You moved.
Yeah.
And like you went to a wedding. We've got like other events we're going to be attending this summer.
Like the blessing and the curse of like semi post COVID life.
Right.
Like it's feeling like the schedules are like demanding us getting back to normal, but it's also still like, is that like fully okay? And also part of me misses a lot of the downtime. And I do still, you know, like being home a lot more. I still am. But there is that thing of like, oh my gosh, like how does anyone even do a podcast when it's not their full-time job?
I know. Well, you know, Seen That's gotten so famous in the last three seasons.
Oh yeah, we're
so
just,
we're on track to make this our viral main gig.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, we should definitely quit our day jobs for this.
One day.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, that's just all crazy that it's almost the end of our summer series, but not quite, because we have a really special movie that we're talking about this week, and I am so excited to talk about it. So yes, this week we are talking about Dirty Dancing. And some quick facts about the movie. It was released August 21st, 1987. So definitely a summer movie in release. And like, you know, it takes place during the summer, which is why we included it. Rated PG-13. It had a very low budget of $6 million.
Oh.
And has since grossed over like $214 million. So
Whoa. It
was, yeah. That wasn't, you know, like opening weekend or anything. But still, it definitely... you know, they definitely broke even on that at least. And the director is Emile Ardolino, and he also directed other things such as Sister Act and Gypsy, and then like another dance movie. And the writer is Eleanor Bergstein. And I'm going to go into like many, many deep dives into some of the stars, just because there's so many people in this movie that have been in like crazy famous other things. So it stars Jennifer Grey, who plays Baby or Frances Hausman. She's also the older sister in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I'm not going to go through everyone's full IMDb thing, but I'm just, you know, highlights people. Also starring Patrick Swayze. Yeah. As Johnny Castle. You know him from Ghost, Point Break. We know him from The Outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Johnny.
Yes. Wait, he did? There were two Johnnies in The Outsiders?
Oh my God, I'm an idiot. No, he played... Our second episode, Karate Kid,
yes.
He played Johnny.
Ralph Macchio played Johnny.
He played Johnny.
In The Karate Kid.
Oh, Derry, Daryl, or
Maybe Daryl. I honestly don't remember. We should watch that movie again.
That would be a great like re-watch, but like with a guest.
Yes. Oh my god.
So good.
Honestly, like yes.
Daryl. I'm pretty sure he plays Daryl in The Outsiders, but sorry, continue.
Okay. And I've never seen Ghost or Point Break. Have you?
Yeah, I haven't seen Point Break, but I have seen Ghost.
We I mean, Ghost I know that. Is like a class. I know Ghost is that. Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's going on the list, of course. And another star is Jerry Orbach, who played Jake Hausman. And he also is the voice of Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. And also, quick fun fact, we're not mentioning any names, but I do know that we went to high school with his grandson or great-grandson. And my parents are friends with his, I guess, offspring or grand. I don't know what the like exact lineage is, but I'm fairly certain that my parents are friends with his son and daughter-in-law.
That so, is super cool.
Isn't that weird? yeah. So shouts out. If you any of you ever listen to this, you know who you are. it also starred Cynthia Rhodes, who plays Penny Johnson. Kelly Bishop as Marjorie Hausman, also Emily Gilmore of Gilmore
exactly.
Girls. Yes. Jane. Oh, go ahead.
Quick small world. If we're talking about our familial connections to these actors, my parents lived in New York for 20 years. And part of that time, their next door neighbor, when they lived on like 76th and West Central Park, was wow. Kelly Bishop.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No way. I love her. She's like what I want to be when I'm like an old lady. Oh my God.
And mom and dad, if you are listening to this and I've gotten that wrong, I'm sorry. But at one point when they lived in New York, they were neighbors with Kelly Bishop. I know that for a fact.
That is amazing. The other movie that she's known for is, I think, Married with Kids. Is that the other thing?
I have no idea. I just know her from Gilmore Girls.
Or something like that. Yeah, that's the only other movie. One I know her of too. Yeah. Okay, so almost through the list. Jane Brucker as Lisa Hausman, the sister, and not a major character, but worth mentioning. Wayne Knight, who plays this character Stan, he's one of the camp, like, you know, runners. This is pre-Seinfeld. He played Newman on Seinfeld. So
that is kind right.
of yes, yes.
Newman.
I know. Hello, Newman. okay. Oh, and then another fun fact. The choreographer of this is Kenny Ortega.
Yes.
Who I don't know, like, why I even know, like, a Hollywood choreographer, but, like, I knew immediately. I was like, he did High School Musical. So.
Exactly. No, that's exactly and many where other I knew
things.
Him from.
He's, right. he's done many other things, but also High School Musical. It was so worth mentioning.
His most important piece of work is High School Musical. So.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, I do know that dance.
so do I.
Yeah. Okay. And then a quick summary. When her family decides to spend the summer at a resort in the Catskills, Frances, or baby Hausman, finds herself in a world of entitled young men, bored housewives, and upper-class snobs. It's only when she meets Johnny, a dance instructor at the resort, and she's flung into a whirlwind of drama, romance, passion, and yes, dancing, that they both begin to realize the strength of their connection and the strength within themselves. So I know that got a little lofty, but...
did you write that?
Yeah, but basically,
well
oh my God, I basically wanted to like write a little bit more than like she falls in love at this thing. You know what I mean? But basically they like both realize that like, hey, this is like a real strong thing. And like they both realize other things about themselves and each other by the end.
Yes, I do want to discuss that later on.
Yes, we will. We're right there. So our leading question, as always, so this movie has so much in it that I just know you to love, like Patrick Swayze, for one. It's a musical, for two. It has like a kick-ass 80s like pop soundtrack, for three. And not to mention, it's like critically acclaimed. And one of our very close friends, Katie, if you're listening, is very into this movie. So I don't know how... you escaped seeing this. So why, Avril, hadn't you seen that?
again, on paper, I should have seen this film, like,
yes,
decades ago. That feels weird to say, decades ago.
I know.
A long time ago, I should have seen this, right? I fully recognize that. And now that I have seen it, I feel a little bit embarrassed. Wow, like, it took me this long to actually watch it. But I have had this reason for other films we've discussed, but I got to a point when I was a teenager where I decided this movie is beneath me. It's gonna be it's gonna be a cheesy 80s flick that, like, everyone talks about it. It's probably overrated. It's probably overhyped. I would rather watch other films that aren't as discussed, aren't as popular, that, you know, explore themes and this and that. You know, like, total, like, pretentious bullshit I was thinking as a teenager. So that was the main reason. And then I just got lazy and was like, eh, I'll watch it later. I'll find a good excuse to watch it with someone. Or, you know, I just, there was never enough real momentum, at least with myself, to just watch it. And I'm really glad that I've seen it now, specifically for this pod, because I think this is going to be a really good discussion. But as I think we've also discussed prior, in prior episodes, like, it's nice to have a reason to watch something. Like,
yeah,
I was clearly struggling to watch it just on my own for fun, but knowing I had to watch this for this episode did make me enjoy the experience a bit more. And, like, I sort of was looking forward to watching the film for the first time, which I haven't always felt with all of our films. And I haven't always felt with, like, other things I've watched for school or for this or for that. So, yeah, I fully was just like, eh, it's beneath me when I was younger, and then just never really thought about it again until recently. And I'm really glad that I have watched it now.
Well, me too. And I similarly, like, was also kind of late to the party on seeing this. I don't think I'd seen this. The first time I watched it was basically, I think, either freshman year or sophomore year of college. So that is, I guess, like, fairly late as far as, like, I don't know. It just seemed like, again, it was one of those movies that, like, everyone knew and, like, people were talking about. And, like, it was maybe on some level, like, I had expected it to be some, like, too tweeny or too cheesy, and parts of it are, but, like,
yes,
you know,
for sure.
once I had watched it, I was pleasantly surprised. So now I'm curious, what did you know about this before seeing it? Like, did you just have a lot of preconceived notions, and were they, like, accurate, or, like, did you know a lot about the plot, or was it kind of like you thought you knew and then, like, this was kind of a surprise?
The latter. I thought I knew what this movie was about, and I got it half right.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other half, I had no idea. And I knew some lines, but definitely not most. Like, I knew No One Puts Baby in a Corner, and that's why I said at the top of this episode that is, like, by far the quintessential line from this film.
Yeah.
So that I knew, and I, unfortunately, when that line was delivered in the movie while watching it, it almost didn't live up to, like, the hype that I feel like has been built around it. It almost just, like, came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, now he's saying it, and now this is the scene. Okay, that happened.
It's like,
I wasn't even expecting it.
It's kind of like, again, like, didn't hold much weight in, like, the way they framed it. And you were like, wait, what did he say? Why did he even say that? Like, it just was so weird.
And it kind of makes me question, how did that become the, like, standalone line from the movie and, like, the most famous scene from it? That and maybe, like, the lift at the end, but they're kind of, like, in the same, like, you know, part of the movie. But we'll talk about that maybe more later. So I had no idea about the abortion storyline, like, no clue. And when I figured that out, I was like, oh, whoa, Dirty Dancing is way more than what I thought it was gonna be about. Like, that took me fully by surprise, and it made me, I don't want to spoil the next question, but, like, it made me more intrigued about the movie for sure, and, like, more, like, interested in what was gonna happen next. So that was, like, a pleasant development that I feel like is not talked about when people talk about Dirty Dancing. It's all about, you know, Swayze and Gray and no one puts baby in a corner, and the lift and the dancing. And like, yes, those are like important, those, you know, important parts of the movie. Those are the main characters. I get that. But the whole abortion thing is just totally, at least for me, up until I watched it, I had no idea, and it was never like mentioned. And like the daddy's little girl whole thing, I didn't know that. I didn't even realize she's like this rich girl who meets and like falls in love with this sort of, it's sort of like rich girl meets poor boy kind of like love story. Like that I didn't really know. Like I didn't know it was supposed to be like two worlds collide in a way. I just thought it was, oh, you know, girl, you know, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman, you know. Also, hashtag free Britney. Seriously, though.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, young woman going out into the world, meets a boy and they fall in love, and they, you know, dancing is sort of how they show their love for one another. That was really all I had going into this. And it takes place at a summer camp. And that wasn't even true, because it's like this resort in the Catskills. So
yeah, it like kind of is a camp, but not. Yeah, it's definitely more of a resort because like it's families. But it takes place in like a, what one would assume to be a camp-like setting, I would say.
Right. And the fact that it takes place in the 60s, I didn't realize until I started watching, because I think they don't do a great job of like making sure everybody looks like they're like dressed the part, because some of the hairstyles and the music, like the music is just like flat out not from 1963. It's like from 1984 or 85.
I mean baby's hair the whole time is full 80s, but I guess like everyone else is, and Johnny almost dresses kind of 50s. He has like almost like a greaser outfit on.
He's literally giving us Daryl. I looked it up, by the way. It is Daryl, but Derry for short. He's giving us Daryl energy throughout.
Yes. So basically, like, I mean, he does wear a leather jacket. Even they always wear the same outfit in these movies. Wait, you know,
big Daryl energy.
Yes. BDE.
BDE all the way. So yes, I thought I knew what this movie was about. I really didn't, but I got some of it right. I knew some of it, but not all, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so first thoughts and like overall impressions, what did you think?
I was ready to tell 16-year-old Avril, you were right, this movie is cheesy, this movie is overrated, it's not that great, and it's kind of stupid. I was just ready to rag on this movie. And as we've talked about offline, you know, outside of this podcast, I've been feeling a bit down lately, unfortunately. That I think sort of contributed to my like assumption that this movie, I wasn't gonna like it and that it wasn't gonna be good. But I have to say, watching this movie put a big old smile on my face.
Oh, it good. That makes me so happy.
And it made me want to dance my ass off. Like, I know. Loved all the dance scenes. The choreography was great.
Yeah.
I, like, did not realize how much I miss Swayze. And he is peak Swayze in this movie. I mean, he looks so good. He dances so well. So we'll get into it, I know, but I was really ready to not like this movie, and it totally took me by surprise. It's not perfect. I didn't love it, but it just really, it really cheered me up, and like that means a lot to me right now. So I'm,
oh my God, that's so good.
I'm like, I was really pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed it.
Oh, I love to hear that. And I know, like, you know, I hate to hear that you've been down, and obviously we've had like offline conversations, so I'm not just hearing this for the first time, you guys. This isn't my reaction to that, but
we only talk when we record these episodes.
But no, I love that. And it's also kind of fun just because on this rewatch I like got swept up in it so much more than like other times I've watched it, and I was just like, I don't know what it is, but like maybe it's just like the soundtrack or the dancing and the romance, you know, like everything. It's just, you just are like, wow, that was really fun. And like, obviously there are some darker parts, but honestly, that kind of makes it, more serious so yeah. that when you say it was fun, it like isn't like, you know, like us watching like High School Musical where you're like, that was fun, but like yeah. it didn't really mean anything, you know?
Right.
I would have been a little bit butthurt if you like didn't like this movie. I would have been like really like, what don't you like about it?
Well, I too was like, I almost didn't want to like it so that we could have a conversation where I didn't like a movie and you did, and we could be like, we could go back and forth, but that's not the right mindset to have. That's not like the intention one should have going into a movie. You know, that's not what this is about. It's just about how we right. feel about the movies that we have or haven't seen. And I can't deny what I felt. And that was happiness. Yeah. That was joy. That was, you know.
I'm so excited about that. Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I guess like we're on a high note. I'm going to bring it back and then we'll kind of teeter totter.
Okay.
So I want to know, especially because you weren't aware of this subplot, like what were your thoughts as the like abortion plot was like unfolding?
I didn't even know the character Penny existed.
So, yeah, I know, right? She's like a great character, and like
she really is.
Barely anyone like mentions her ever.
Exactly. I mean, it's her. It's I didn't know there was this like baby has a sister that there's
the sister.
She's so annoying.
She's such a drip.
She really is.
And the hula song is like so awful.
I hated that because it wouldn't stop.
They made it awful though for sure.
They played
though.
The entire song. It's like a 3.5 minute scene, and it's just. The song goes and goes and goes.
And it's like the most annoying note.
It really is.
Or whatever that it's like, no, 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 no. And you're like,
But I guess we got to give props then to that actress because she nails how to play the annoying sister That's very true. Well.
That's true.
So yeah, I had Penny amongst many other characters in this movie I just didn't know existed. And I think I was just sort of like taken aback kind of as it progresses, like all right, didn't know you know are pregnant and you want to go through with an abortion, and the dad is Robbie, who's a dick. Also, can I just say Ivy League medical students are waiters at this resort? How do you have time in your summers to like have another job?
Well, this is probably a dumb question. Don't they get summer break or no?
But yes, but I'm thinking, aren't they like in a residency or like doing something like related to what they're studying? But I could be totally wrong.
Feel like
I am not a medical student.
I mean, maybe like the real doctors, but like also maybe it's like, I feel like it was so, it was like, what is it? The 60s.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like the requirements then were like probably different. I'm wildly speculating.
Clearly, because Robbie's an asshole and shouldn't be in medical school because he treats women like shit.
Yeah. It is awful. There's so much. And maybe once we talk about this, we'll talk about, I guess, like the class differences. But
yeah.
I guess we'll, okay. Finish this thought. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody. That's just cynic Avril. Like, that's not realistic.
No, but yeah, I was also kind of like, oh, like he chooses to work here and not like do something else. I guess maybe it's good money. And if he's going to be in school for like however many years, maybe he needs to get good tips. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll ask my medical school friends because I have so many. Just kidding.
Right.
Anyway. I was, shocked, but, like, to say, like, I'm happy it was in there sounds weird, but it was a pleasant revelation about the movie, and it seems like, from what I read after watching it, that the writer of the movie was adamant it be kept in, because I guess studio heads were like, no, this is too controversial, we gotta take this out, and she was like, no, this needs to stay. So, A, good for her for keeping that in. And I'm, you know, it's still like kind of heavy, and the fact that it takes a pretty dark turn, I was not expecting, but I am glad that it's in there. And I think it is an underrepresented situation that women find themselves in in movies. Like, that's not, like, the fact that that's the reason, basically, that Baby becomes Johnny's dance partner and they fall in love is because Penny needs to get an abortion. Like, that's the reason. That's the whole catalyst for this movie, basically. I was, like, pleasantly surprised by that, I have to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, it also, like, again, just highlights. And, again, you forget when you're, like, reminiscing on the movie and you're just thinking about the songs and the fun dancing and everything. But, like, highlights at least the differences in the two worlds. And I feel like when I watched it, like, I mean, I know I was, like, a freshman in college, but, like, you're still kind of, I don't know. I feel like as I've watched it, like, later on in life, I, like, pick up on more of what they were, like, getting at, with just, like, how they were separating, like, the guests versus the, like,
staff
and, like, the quote, like, working class people at the camp. So I don't know. I just thought that it also created the worlds, like, the two drastic worlds that, like, Johnny and Baby come from, too.
No,
it, like, highlighted that.
Exactly. And I, again, was sort of just so swept up in each moment of the movie that when Baby goes to her dad to get the money, I'm like, wow, that's so brave and, like, generous of her. And then the moment she gives it to Penny and she's like, oh, yeah, you asked your dad for that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I actually can understand her side of this, too, of, like, this is, like, pity money almost. Like, it can be viewed as that. So I thought they did a decent job of, like you said, like, sort of showing both worlds and, you know, the impressions one can have based off of your position in society, your socioeconomic background, like, how that impacts you and, like, how you view the world, and then the actions of others and how it affects you. I thought that, like, it, again, it's like Dirty Dancing is so much more than I thought it was.
I know, there's so many layers. And I feel like the first time I watched it, I don't even know if I, like, really picked up on it. And again, I was kind of old, so I should have understood. But I don't know. I, like, yeah, I, you pick up on more as you watch things again and again. But, and it's just so much more obvious now. And also, like, again, just, like, the differences between her and her sister. Like, it's, I feel, you know, in some ways I just feel bad for the sister, or Lisa, because her name is Lisa? Or is that the mom? Yeah, it's Lisa. Because, like, it's almost, like, not her fault. Like, society has, like, told her to be, like, this way. And Baby's almost, like, the different one, like, oh, I'm going to go in the Peace Corps. Like, I'm not going to wear, like, all the fancy dresses. I don't need to do this talent show. Like, da-da-da. Like, she was already, like, kind of different. But her also, like, being confronted with, like, I guess, you know, people, like, actually of a different, you know, background than her was sort of eye-opening. But then, like, the way she handles every situation is, like, pretty mature too. Like,
I think it's also interesting to, and I think the movie sort of touches on this, is, like, as the viewer, you're inclined, as I literally did, to want the wealthy, rich, the one that has access to the resources to, like, solve the problem, to, like, help out the, you know, underprivileged or, like, those in need. And that's literally what Baby talks about, is, like, I want to help others. I forget the exact quote, but it's, like, basically that sentiment. But then again, on the other hand, like, the reaction of those in need of, like, I don't necessarily want your help. And, like, just because you can doesn't mean that you should, in that, like, this is just to make you feel better. But, like, do you actually really care about me and, like, my struggle or my, like, how I've had to hustle? And, like, you kind of get that tension, I think, from Penny and Baby in the beginning. Like, that hair wig thing where,
oh, yeah. She's like, I envy you.
Yeah, she's like, I've had to, like, work my whole life. Like, I was kicked out when I was 16. So I think it again, it like starts to touch on it. I don't think it like fully dives deep into it, but like that tension of like you think you're doing the right thing, or like you think you're coming from a good place, but like it doesn't come off that way, and like you don't actually understand like what I've been through, and you don't actually, you'll never really be able to like fully grasp like the struggles I've gone through. And I thought that was interesting, and like again, like for the movie that I thought this is gonna be, I like wasn't expecting that.
Well, yeah, it's like for all of Baby's like good intentions, like in that, or just throughout the, maybe like the beginning portion of the movie, and maybe she thinks she's like giving this girl a compliment. Right. It's like she's actually realizing like, oh, like I come from enormous privilege, and like it's actually, you know, not, this isn't something that like it's easy to almost flaunt it and not realize like what you're actually saying to people. She's like, oh, I envy you, because she like thinks she has this adventurous life and she's a dancer, and like, yeah, like you said, like she's had to struggle and work her way. And so for Penny to just like not even respond, because like, what are you gonna say? Like, you envy me? Like, I just told you I got kicked out of my house at 16.
Right.
Like, screw you. Like, you know, like you're here with your parents on a whim, like for 3 weeks, because like you have the luxury to be.
Right.
So,
like, I think at one point, Johnny, right when he meets Baby at the dance party in the barn, is like, what is she doing here? And I think that sort of encapsulates this, like, you know, this is our space, this is our turf where we can be free to dance how we want, be ourselves and not be judged and not have to perform and, you know, work for tips, work for something. We can just,
the man,
sort of, quote, right, we can just like be free. And so I thought that was a kind of a powerful moment that maybe wasn't intended to be, but I think it like said a lot without saying much, you know?
Well, yeah, it's like she was like invading their space. Like there was that sign that was like, you know, staff quarters, and then everyone's like, oh, you're gonna be, or like she's gonna run and tell daddy. And it's like, you know, because maybe that's happened before, like, and like they would just rather not associate, you know?
Right.
So there's just so much here too. Yeah. It's like great. It adds so much to this movie.
There, exactly. And I feel bad because we've sort of gone off on a different tangent, but to bring back to your point about the abortion storyline, I also appreciated how, at least I can't recall, no one is judging her for getting one. Everyone is supportive and is
like, in her like community. Yeah, her, I feel, circle. Like the dad had a bit of a struggle with it, but,
and I think that's like layered. I think there's like multiple reasons why, but like, yeah, Johnny and the other guy, forget his name, and I think just and like the other the, staff, like,
yeah,
everyone is like just concerned about her and like her being able to go and like having the money and, you know, how can we help her like get this thing done, you know, help her out basically. So like that was, again, the fact that production and studio heads were like, you got to take this out because it's just about this one topic. But then within the movie, it's being framed in this non, again, for the most part, judgmental way of just like, this is something she has to get done, and like, we need to help her out, was again, like a pleasant, like realization, was a pleasant thing to kind of like glean from this movie that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. And then also like, and this is sort of a weird thing to appreciate, but I guess also like that there's so little, there was so little education about it back then and still is, but that, you know, there's so much misinformation and like, it's so secret that women are driven to go do that. And basically to some like quack who like didn't know what he was doing and like screwed her up. And like, again, that's not shown a lot in films either. Like, or even TV, like that it went wrong. Something went wrong. So I don't know. I again, it's weird to say that I liked that, but I thought that like that is an important part of like, I guess, just that topic, and that the fact that it was in this is like kind of, like you said, appalling. It's like, just,
well, and the fact too that it's like it shows how sometimes desperate people, you know, right. women who are in these situations who want to get an abortion, or maybe they don't even want to, it's just like that is to them the only solution or like the only way that mm-hmm. they can go on in life. So they have to kind of go to these like backdoor doctors, or I don't really know the expression, I'm probably messing it up, but go to maybe not so trusted, you know, places mm-hmm. to get this procedure done. And so the fact that it happens in this movie and it goes wrong, so then she has to rely on a right. like, certified, you know, white glove doctor. I don't really think it's addressed in the movie, but I could see how like that can add to sort of like the class like tension yes. of like, I wanted just to get this over with and get it done and not have to go through another person, or like, you know, just like I wanted just this to be over with, and it becomes more of an ordeal. So I think this is all to say, like, I thought this movie did a really good job of like showing how difficult abortion access was, and frankly, as we know now, mm-hmm. still is, and like how scary it could be, how expensive and right. just difficult and painful. So it wasn't like, I appreciate too, like, it's not like just a side plot line. Like, it is, again, like mm-hmm. a huge part of the movie in a sense, because it causes the rest of the action to happen between Johnny and Gray, or Johnny and Baby. So I almost feel like we could have like a whole separate episode about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well,
it's so yeah, I sorry, I want to like try to like sum up my thoughts here. I'm just like, there's, you know, it shows a lot in the few scenes that it's dressed in.
Yeah.
About like access and like the emotional like toll it takes on oneself, mm-hmm. the physical toll it takes. Mm-hmm. Like, it, hats off in a sense.
Like, yeah, I'm glad they kept it in.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I again just was like really struck by that aspect of the movie.
So kind of switching gears here, but while we're on the subject of Baby and Johnny, do you think those two had good on-screen chemistry?
Yes, I did, and I was also pleasantly surprised by that, because I think of, is it Jennifer Grey who plays Baby? Mm-hmm. I think of her as Ferris yeah. Bueller's sister. As Ferris Bueller's sister, because it's the only other movie I think I've seen her in. And yeah. I think of Patrick Swayze from Ghost, where he's, you know, like making out with Demi
being
Moore.
Sexy. Yeah,
being sexy, being a ghost, making pottery. So I was very pleasantly, you know, engrossed in their sexual tension. However, I don't really think that why they like each other and why they grow to love each other is fully fleshed out. Like, yes,
mm-hmm.
Johnny like sees the idealism and the optimism of Baby and like aspires to be like that, and like, you know, loves her validation, and Baby like really grows to understand like her privilege and how that can come off to others through him, and like how to sort of, you know, I understand how they grow to love each other. I just don't think it's really fleshed out, because after they have sex for the first time,
mm-hmm.
we only really then see them just in bed together again. And like their conversations are really brief and short.
Yeah.
And it's then just about, oh, my dad doesn't like you and I wasn't going to tell him about you. So it becomes more about like the conflict and the like restriction of them being together than it does about like why they actually like each other.
Right.
I don't think that was a great explanation, but
no, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, I just feel like overall there's not like a ton of dialogue in this movie. Like, there's, it's pretty long, and there's a lot of like montages basically yes. of just dancing, which is fine.
Which I didn't mind. I loved that.
Right. Me too. But you're right. It's like, yeah, after they get together, there's no like, I mean, he kind of says it at the end and you kind of get it if you're like really paying attention. But yeah, there's not a lot of like, you can see like the montage of them like starting to have a crush on each other or falling in love and you go like, okay, cute. But then like what they really like see in each other isn't like fully explained until kind of the end when he's like, she's taught me so much, but then she doesn't really say anything. So you're kind of like, I mean, obviously it's Patrick Swayze and he's hot and a great dancer, but you're like, why do you like him? You know,
it comes off. And again, this goes back to your question of like the sexual tension. It's very believable because it really just feels like they're very attracted to each other. And so it's really more lust than it is love. And I don't want to like, on their relationship to like diehard Dirty Dancing fans, but it felt more like this relationship might not work out in the future.
I don't
think they've really explored who they are with one another enough.
Yeah, and maybe they'll like grow more together and that will be great. Right. But I do agree with you. It did feel more summer fling-ish and less like the love of my life. Thing, like the fact, you know what that, I mean?
No, exactly. The fact that Baby, when her sister Lisa, is that what we think her name is?
Yeah, it's I think I'm pretty sure it's Lisa.
When Lisa's like, also that scene, they both look asleep, and then out of nowhere, Lisa's like, I think I'm gonna go all the way with Robbie.
Is so annoying.
And then Baby wakes up and is like, no, I think you should do it with someone who you like kinda love. I'm like, look, I don't want to, again, like, rain on your, like, you know, high of being in love, but what I think is really just in like and very much in lust with Johnny. Like, I've been there. I think we've all been there. We're just, like, so infatuated with somebody. You're like, oh, my God, I can't stop thinking about you. I'm obsessed with you. And just, like, you make everything feel great. Again, the cynic in me was like, you are how old? Like, I like just couldn't take the advice like as it was coming from her. I was like, this just feels a little too soon. Like you just had sex for your first time, I think, presumably.
Like, I know.
Also, I think like sex for the first time should be with someone that you want to have sex with.
Right. It so doesn't.
Whether you're in love with them or not, I don't think that should be like the determining factor.
Right. I fully agree. Because like also generally, again, we don't know what everyone's first time is that is listening, but like generally when like teenagers like start to be sexually active, it's like they don't even know what love is. Like no one, you know what I mean? It's like that's like a hard thing even for like adults to understand. And like for you to be like, or I don't know, I always hate when like if an adult is like, oh, have it be with someone you love, I'm like, no one knows what that is. And basically you're just telling some poor girl and some poor boy to like that love is just like sexual attraction, which it's not. And it can add an important thing to a relationship, but like, it's just, So like the idea that like you have to love that person is wrong. We're kind of going off on a tangent, but I do want to say like, you should just feel safe and comfortable with that person and trust that person in that, with that moment. And like, you know what I mean? Like, why do we have to like, I don't know. I like hate like the cheese factor. So it's like, you have to love. And I'm like,
I was like, this is very much, I feel like an 80s, like of its time, like that, you know, of course that would be said. And I think it reinforces the Penny character when she says, I really thought Robbie and I had a future together. He said he loved me and I don't sleep around. I don't want you to think that. Like, she's so afraid of being viewed as a slut and just being, you know, sloppy. And like, I think you and I both agree, like, we don't think slut shaming is okay.
No.
And I think that I don't want to like criticize Penny, but I don't think she should have felt the need to justify like why she was pregnant. Like, whether you love them or not, like, it happens. And if you want to get an abortion and you can, like, you should. So like, it shouldn't matter that, like, oh, well, like, I'm just pregnant because I was in love with him and I was committed to him. It's like, even if you weren't, if it was like a one night stand or whatever, like, you were pregnant, you got pregnant from it. And like, it that part kind of irked me, but I fully recognize, again, this is the 80s mm-hmm. and they were clearly trying to send a message of like, you know, be in love with the person you're with.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes these acts like sex and like raunchy dancing more acceptable because you have that connection, that love, that emotional like attachment to that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, slightly moving on to the dancing. Was it as dirty as you thought it would be?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, okay. As I thought, I really didn't actually. That's a good point, because I didn't even know what to think of the dirty dancing. I'm like, what's dirty that he like lifts her in the air? Like, is this going to be like a Footloose where like dancing's not allowed at the resort?
Better than Footloose. It's insane.
I know. I'm like really glad we don't have to discuss Footloose. I just don't care for that movie.
Now I kind of want to rewatch Footloose to like, but not for the pod, but like just to like be like, yeah, Dirty Dancing's so much better.
Well, and I don't want to steal another person's idea. So I'm fully giving credit to whomever said it. And it was someone on some podcast. So I can't quite source specifically, but this is not an original thought, but I'm just going to regurgitate it now. Somewhere in the 80s, maybe late 70s, teen movies started having, and rom-coms, so teen movies and rom-coms started having dance numbers.
Yeah.
Where either it's like a scene that shows the main character like is fun and cool and it just like expresses themselves, or it's a scene that brings the love interests together. So, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off has, like, the Beatles, you know, parade scene. Breakfast Club, they were all dancing in the, you know, detention library, whatever.
Right. I mean, in the first scene of High School Musical, I know we've been bringing that up a lot, but they literally are like, sing karaoke together. We're going to force you two strangers to do that. That's going to be fun for everybody. Like, what?
Right. Right, so I'm like, that's been on my mind now, and like watching this movie, I was like, there's so many dancing scenes that show the main love interests together, and it's like just to reinforce that it's like this is how they're falling in love and getting closer physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
Where was I going with this?
Was it dirty enough?
Knowing that there was going to be a lot of dancing, I just didn't know, like, what makes it dirty. And I think it's clear that it's, like, the way they're dancing. It's
not
prim and proper. It is, like, full-on grinding and kind of borderline humping.
Yeah.
Like, that first scene in the, or, like, the first shot of the staff party that happens.
It's such a good scene.
It's a really good scene, but I was just like, oh, my God, like, these actors are like really dancing on each other.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, Patrick Swayze, I did not know he was a professional dancer. And now I know he's a professional dancer because of this movie. I mean, he looks amazing. He dances amazingly. I mean, like, I loved watching him because he just moves so well. And yeah. Like, I think Jennifer Grey did a great job learning how to dance, because that's what her character has to do. But I know that she wasn't a professional dancer at all, or like didn't have much training before the movie. But like, he just totally blew me out of the water. Like,
I mean, even Penny, the first dance of them together, I'm Penny, her legs, like, God.
The flexibility.
Oh, I know. Like,
The dancing, I didn't know what to expect with the dirty part, but I was like, whoa, all right, they are dancing.
Yeah, it's weird though too, because I was watching it this time and I was like thinking about, like, I don't know, like middle school dances, or even just like if you go to a club like now, like some of the moves they were doing on screen, I was like, I guess that like it's dirtier, but it also feels less gross. I don't know what it was. Maybe it just was like the song was old and I don't know, but, or maybe it was the setting, but like that felt, that still for how like raunchy it was, felt so much more wholesome than like what people do at clubs now. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not even talking about like the twerking. It just like felt like when everyone's paired up, you know, everyone has a partner. They're all really like just feeling each other's energy. And I know like that's maybe a little hippy dippy for everybody. So like at a club, no one's going to like, you know, but like now it's just like, oh, let me like grab you from behind and like, and now face away from me. So you, like your ass could be like on my dick. Like why? Like it just feels much grosser now. You know what I mean?
No, that's a really good point. And I think maybe once or twice I've like danced in a really fun way with another person that like I wasn't just like my back facing them and yeah, basically grinding on them in a way that like wasn't really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're totally right in that watching that scene, it's a bit shocking if you're not expecting that kind of dancing, but it actually is very true, I think, to dancing in a way in that like you're engaging with the other person and you're like, feeding off of their energy and you're like, you know, it's a dialogue. It's like you make this move, I make that move, and like we respond to one another. Whereas, and like if people like grinding, you like grinding. I don't, no disrespect there, but like I think also I haven't like been in a club. I haven't been dancing with anybody in forever. So it's like I don't think I miss it, and I don't think I even really enjoyed it when I did do it. And I think watching this movie was sort of like a reminder that, oh yeah, like other kind of dancing styles are actually really fun, especially with another person, if they're down for it. And like no one needs to be a professional dancer,
mm-hmm.
but as long as they're like willing to try, I think it makes the experience way more fun.
Yeah. Oh, and that's why it's sort of sad that like the idea of like going dancing now is like, there really isn't like, I mean, music like that they had in this movie is so fun also.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just like moving, but it's not about like anything like sleazy usually. Like, I don't know. It is just like nice. It's so weird to say, but yeah. And I miss dancing too. Like I miss like, so I would much. Love to do like that kind of dancing with, like, I mm-hmm. understand why there's like this like movie magic. Cause like watching people dance like that together is like, holy shit. Like what is that?
It made me want to have a partner that enjoys dancing as much as I do.
I don't know. Like, I'm like, we gotta go take lessons.
Yeah. It would be like, would want to take dancing lessons with me, or just want to like dance with me for fun.
Yeah, like, just put some music on and, like, just let's go, right, you know?
Right, but I'm also now, like, I just need to start learning how to dance like Swayze, because he, like,
I could see you doing that. I can't
speak highly enough of him, yeah. Speaking of dancing and having partners, I really enjoyed the ending scene. But I think, mm-hmm. as we talked about at the beginning of the episode, like, the no one puts baby in a corner was kind of like, it seemed out of nowhere.
Right.
And then the lift, it seemed like kind of just happened. Like, there was a little bit of lead up, but then it just takes off. I mean, she literally takes off. And I was like, oh, wait, I thought there was going to be like more like build up and like anticipation. And there's a little bit, but not nearly as much as I was expecting there to be. And it's still enjoyable, but I was almost kind of like, this is only it. Yeah.
Like I expected, I don't know why I always, I mean, the first time I watched it, I don't know why I was expecting him to like spin her too, like lift and then turn. I don't know. But lift anyway,
spin.
Yeah. But I think like I had a similar feeling, to the end of like Karate Kid, where it kind of just ends and then you're like, wait, what happened? Like, I know there was like, they wrapped it up kind of, but like, I kind of wanted, I mean, maybe it's nice that like the parents are okay with everything and like everything's fine, but I kind of was like thinking that this, I would have been interesting if like the sister was like jealous. I don't know. Like, if she was like, she stole my moment, you know? I don't know why I kind of would have loved that, but.
Well, she kind of, like, has that, one could see that, given how she acts sometimes with Baby, that she could easily just get jealous and be like, fuck you, like, you stole my spotlight.
The last time they, like, speak, it's like, she's like, Daddy listens when I talk now. And then you're like, okay. Yeah. And then she's like all happy for her singing in the, like dancing in the thing. And she's like clapping along at the table with her parents. I'm like, she just interrupted your whole like dance number. What are you doing? Like,
I also have to say the dad, when he's addressed so early on as like, well, when it's addressed so early on that Baby is a daddy's girl, I was expecting him to be more in the movie, but he's really only kind of in it in the beginning, somewhat in the middle, and then at the end. And I also found the fact that he, like, does not question his daughter. And I get why he doesn't really need to, but the fact that she's, you know, at one point, oh, I need $250.
Oh, yeah.
No questions asked, other than it's not me and I'm not in trouble.
Wait, but he does ask, like, go. He's like, is it illegal? And she's like, of course not, which is literally such a lie. Or I don't even know if it was, honestly. But, like, the way she says it makes it seem like a lie. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have asked. And I'm like, no, like, definitely ask. Like, ask. Yeah.
So, I, like, the realist in me is like, come on, you're not going to, like, ask any more questions. You're just going to give her. And, like, it is kind of sweet how he just gets up when she wakes him up in the middle of the night and is like, I need your help.
Yes.
Come right away. And he just goes. He's kind of a dick about it. But, like, that I thought was sweet. But overall, the, like, clear one-sided love and affection he has for Baby and not his other daughter, I think is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't show that much of it, but, like,
they don't. But the little they show, I'm like, if this is what it's like all the time, if I was her sister, if I was Lisa, yeah, I'd know. Be pissed too.
Well, she's like, practically chases after him at that, like, at the breakfast table or whatever.
Right. And he asks her a question and then gets up and leaves as she's talking. It's so rude. Like, that's her daughter.
I almost am like, that's probably part of the reason why she is the way she is, other than the societal aspects, like I said before. Like, she's trying to impress her dad so much. So she thinks she needs to, like, marry, like, this Ivy League guy and, like, go and do these things and do all the things that, like, the good girls are supposed to do. And yet, like, she's still not his favorite daughter. And it's, like, the worst. Like, that is, I wish they explored that dynamic more, because that is gold. That is such gold.
Yeah.
But quickly, also, before we wrap on the, like, father-daughter relationship, I actually am always surprised by the conversation that Baby and her father have. Were you surprised by that as well?
I was, and it actually got me verklempt. I started to tear up. I was like, God damn it, Dirty Dancing, you're making me feel all these things.
I know! And it's like, she, like, really stands up to him.
It was really profound. Yeah. I was, like, I was very moved, and I, you know, bravo acting in that scene on both Jennifer Grey, and I don't know who plays the dad,
but like, Jerry Orbach.
I was like, this is a really good scene. It's really moving.
Yes. And again, I said it before, but a lot of times in movies, no one really, like, gets at the problem or, like, talks to people in the way that, like, maybe in real life we would. And the fact that she's, like, really addressing and being so honest, like, no, like, you let me down too. And, like, oh, it's just so, like,
I'm like, why did I bring that up when I was a teenager and my parents let me down?
Oh my God. Like, she's so together. I'd be like, I could never say that to my parents. Oh my God.
That was a good heavy scene.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other light scenes we could end on, but,
I, like, kind of forgot about it, but, like, thought the subplot of the older couple stealing wallets everyone was, like, kind of funny, but also a bit random. Like, I got how it worked into the movie, but I was like, you're gonna make them the, like, thieves? Okay.
That just seemed like such a random, like they needed something so that they could be like, oh, yeah, we need a reason for Johnny to like,
right, right,
leave. But that was so funny. Like,
I, yeah. I mean, I guess kind of going back to our previous episode about Friday the 13th, I guess it's kind of cool to see, like, not cool, but
the old ladies.
Different to see old, yeah, older people. And in this case, like an older lady, like being the villain in a sense, like,
yeah,
you know,
taking, even though there was no like real villain in this movie. I guess, yeah, I guess really, that guy, well, Robbie,
it's like Robbie, or, what's his name?
And that
bad
other
doctors who botched, right, abortions.
And that other guy, not really a villain, but like that other guy who tries to hit on Baby in the beginning, like the kids, yeah, the like the camp son, director's grandson or whatever, or yeah, son.
Oh, and the wife who has sex with Robbie.
Oh, I forgot about Vivian. Oh my Vivian, God.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple bad apples.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Oh, I forgot about her. That is an interesting plot line too. It's like, yeah, it's like this bored housewife, like her husband leaves her like all week up here. He only shows up on the weekends. And then like, she just like has everything paid. She's basically at an all-inclusive resort that the bill has been fitted for her. So she, yeah, doesn't need to pay for anything. And all she needs to do is like lounge around, relax. And like, then she's going to have a little fun with like the staff, you know, like, I don't know. I just think that that's like an interesting character too.
Yeah, I do too. That could be like a whole like spin-off or like,
I know. That's a very like Mrs. Own Robinson thing, but also like,
yes,
that could be its own spin-off. Ugh.
Or like Real Housewives
thing. I know. That'd be great. Anyway, so I think like, I mean, there's probably so much more and that we, you know, could discuss and didn't get to. But in the interest of keeping this number series a little bit shorter, these episodes, we're going to wrap up soon. But, you know, with this episode and knowing that one of our dear friends is like a super fan of this movie, we, you know, may or may not try to do like a bonus episode, a revisited with her. So, you know, TBD, fully TBD on that. But like, putting it out in the universe, trying to manifest, maybe that'll happen. Because that would be really fun. I would
love that to happen. Yeah, that'd be, yeah, so much fun. And it would be a first for seeing that, so hey.
Yes, yes. So Av, what are we discussing next time? And what is the final installment of the summer series going to be?
We're going to be discussing Dazed and Confused, which I've sort of felt the past few weeks, among other emotions, so it's fitting. Yeah, we're going back to school because it's about the last day of school in 1976.
So it's at the beginning of summer.
Beginning of summer, even though we're sort of wrapping up our summer series. We're ending
the
summer, yes. No, that is, I think, a classic, and I'm so excited to talk about that with you. I think it's going to be a really good season ender.
Me too.
Yeah.
So excited. We've kind of like, I knew it was a summer series, but I'm surprised at how many like camp movies we've had and just like.
We've gone to camp a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say one last thing about this movie. I kind of forgot it was taking place in the summer. And I think that's, yeah, due to, spoiler alert, if you read the wiki, which, as we've said before, yes, many times, we read the wikis on all of these movies, and that's where we get, like, a lot of our information.
Yeah.
This movie, it looked like they tried to film it in, like, North Carolina and Virginia, but it, mm-hmm, was so hot in the summer that they had a delay production.
That kept getting delayed.
So, mm-hmm, they then filmed it in October. And so, like, I got autumn vibes in certain, yes, scenes. I was like, this doesn't look like it's summer. It looks like it's the fall.
Yeah, so they had to, like, spray paint the leaves green.
Yeah.
And, or whatever they do. And then, also, like, there was interesting wardrobe choices. Like, they were wearing, like, heavy cardigans a lot. Like, it didn't feel like wet, hot American summer where everyone's in t-shirts and mini, I mean, clearly, right, a different movie, but like, you know, there's only a couple scenes where they're like dancing and sweaty. Like you'd think that would be, right, like the whole time. So,
right. Exactly.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, our series is wrapping up. I mean, the summer is still going, but it is already kind of flying by.
Yeah. And we're giving ourselves, you know, kind of a buffer at the end of this to just kind of feel out what we're going to do after the summer series. But for now, there's still one more episode. So we're so excited. Yay.
And tomorrow we're recording this on Monday, the 19th. And tomorrow is Haley's birthday.
Yes, I kind of keep forgetting it's my birthday tomorrow. Like, it just doesn't feel... Also, weirdly, like, this is a very privileged thing for me to say, but normally I'm at the shore with my family on my birthday, which I'm so blessed to be able to do. But because of COVID, basically this year, we weren't able to get a house this week, so it's happening in August. But it just doesn't feel... Normally, I'm like... in beach mode, I'm on vacation mode. That is like my birthday vibe. I'm a summer baby. I fully like lean into it. But no, I gotta go to work tomorrow. So I mean, it'll be fine. I'm not one of those people that needs to have like the day be like the day, you know?
Yeah.
As long as like I get together with friends or family within like a week or two of my birthday and do some kind of thing, I am usually very happy. So, yeah, but thank you. I keep forgetting.
Happy to remind you.
Thank you. Okay, you guys. So again, that wraps up our conversation on Dirty Dancing. And next time we will be discussing Dazed and Confused and why I haven't seen that. Thank you guys, as always, so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at seenthatpod, all one word, and seen is spelled S-C-E-N-E. You can keep listening to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts, and please follow us on those platforms as well so you get notified every time there's a new Seen That episode. And remember, we're, you know, all in this together. There's still a lot of, like... you know, just weird things happening just all over the place this summer. Everyone stay safe. Just stay well. We love you guys. And I love Avril.
I love you all. I love you, Hale. Happy almost birthday.
Thank you. And I will see you so soon, you guys. Yes. The next time we record, Avril and I will have already seen each other in person. So like, that's wild. We're gonna see each other this weekend, and it's literally so exciting.
It's been at least a year and a half, so this is long overdue.
Yes, so I can't wait to see you. I love you.
Me too.
Bye, guys.
Love you too. Bye, everybody.